San Francisco 49ers deep in the heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, D. Clark. Garrison Hurst, Stiff Farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down the sideline.
What's up, Faithful? Welcome to the 49er Faithful UK Live. As always, I'm your host, Paul Hawke. And joining me once again is the one, the only, Lee Gowland.
Hey, buddy. Doesn't seem like 2 minutes since we last recorded a live show.
Well, Lee, there really is no off-season in the NFL, especially in the month of March. With the start of the league's new year upon us, with free agencies, legal tampering period starting on Monday, I'm sure you, me, and everybody else watching were refreshing those social media feeds to see what breaking news was next. So naturally, everyone, there was only one topic for us to discuss on tonight's live. And helping us do so, Lee, we're joined by another very special guest. A member of the 49er Faithful UK admin team, host of multiple shows on Let's Talk Sports, and rumour has it, he likes an outfit changer too. He definitely has the most residency caps on this side of the pond, and we're delighted to be joined by the legend that is Gary Thorpe.
Hiya, boys. I can't beat that. Hey, Gary, how are you? Not bad. Great. Thanks for having me on, boys. And I think you're right, Paul. I think the residency thing has become definitely my thing, and I don't even want to tell you how many I have now. I mean, the boxes in the corner are an indication, but yeah, just don't say it out loud because the wife will tell. Well, the wife will find out.
Yeah, don't worry. Your secret is safe with us. However, Mrs. Thorpe, thank you for watching. Not responsible for all those boxes in the background, but free agency chaps. So, as we said at the start, Lee, the NFL season never sleeps, but it gets exciting at this time of year. We went live on Monday night with the Four Fuckers. So, Gareth has released the polls in the group. Yeah. So, I'm excited to see who wins what. But where do we start, boys, with the free agency stuff?
Well, I mean, to be honest, tonight you start with Happy New League Year.
Happy New Year.
Today
Happy
is the official year. Day That's of the it. Happy New League Year.
2 minutes into season 2024.
I bet that absolutely killed you having to say Four Fuckers, because I know how much you're trying to avoid saying it in the past.
Well, I was frightened of getting us cancelled off YouTube, but what can I say, Lee? A new league year.
It's an acronym.
A new start.
It's an acronym.
A new man. But yes, to be fair, everybody, my good friend Lee Gowland has armed me with the acronym. I've got that saved in my notes on my phone. So if anybody wants to know what it is, I can paste and copy and share it out there. But all jokes aside, the award show on Monday was a blast. It was good to kind of get the awesome foursome together. I know it's something we're keen to do on a more regular basis in this format. It's just getting everyone together, isn't it, really, Lee?
It is. It's going to be an interesting one. I think coming into free agency, I think I've said to several people, I just couldn't believe the amount of talent that was available in free agency this year. It's like no other year that I can remember. And just over the past 2 days, more players are getting released. And you think, why, Jesus, they're really good players. I mean, Michael Thomas from New Orleans. Yeah. He's one that piqued my interest, because he's a decent receiver. And there's just so many that make you think, what's happened? We talked about the cap, and I mean, I turned around and said the cap's gone up by 10 million. 10 million more than what we all expected. I think it was 10 million more than what the teams expected. So I don't think it's a cap issue. Can't be a cap issue. It's just a really strange year. No idea if the draft is stacked this year. I know there's a few areas in the draft, which are a few position groups that are looking quite strong. But as an overall draft, I'm not entirely sure. That could be prompting people to release players. But yes. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm thinking, as you say, Lee, that the wide receiver draft is deep this year, so I don't imagine a lot of movement wide receiver-wise, because there's a lot of talent coming out there. But I don't think, as in previous years, I don't think the defensive line's too deep. So you've got a few edge, Jared Verse out of FSU looks like he'll go early. But like underneath that tier, there's not an awful lot. So I think that's why we're seeing quite so much movement. What's got me is the running back carousel. Just where did that whole sort of spinning cycle come from? That's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's almost as though the running backs have become popular again, because they haven't been for years and years, and all of a sudden yeah, running backs are coming off the free agency board, left, right, and centre. And I tell you what, the running backs, that's where the biggest shock for me was, with Barkley going across to the Eagles from the Giants, because Giants and Eagles, they hate each other.
That's a rivalry.
Well, exactly. I mean, when you talk about football over here, you don't tend to get that where a player will move from one rival to the other, because they tend to get the idea of that rivalry while they're playing for one team. So they tend to stay away from that other team. But Saquon Barkley, he's just said, sod that, I'm going to the Eagles.
And I wonder looking at some of those, like the Barkley one to the Eagles, I think the Jones one to the, did he went to the Vikings or the Bears? He went to the Vikings, right, from the Packers. He got dropped from the Packers and he's gone to the Vikings. Right. And it's like, you wonder if there's, and it's business and we all know that, is there a little bit of spite in some of those decisions, you know, for Barkley to go back, you know, the Barkley's last year, he was on the franchise tag, he was arguing the back and forth about paying him. Is there a reason, you know, he's gone back going, I'm coming back twice a year to stick it to you guys. You got a feeling that sometimes there's a bit of that.
Yeah, yeah, could be, because you're kind of seeing that all over. I'll tell you what, one of the surprises for me as well, and it's a surprise because we talked about it on Monday's show, and I was very disappointed with this move that the Seahawks had made. I must have misread that. I must have read that Patrick Queen had been speaking of visiting the Seahawks, because obviously he's now gone and signed with the Steelers. Again, a big rival of the Ravens. So it's a strange one. I mean, I'm over the moon about that particular move.
I'm not complaining. He stayed in the AFC, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there's been some strange moves. Real eye-openers.
So Neil, Graham in the house. He says, evening, gents. Loving the T-shirt, Gary, which I knew you'd get a lot of love when I saw you tweet that out earlier. And he says he's been wearing the exact top today. Great minds and all. So it's good to have you with us, Neil. Now, is it any surprise, gents, that the 49ers picked up a couple of defensive ends, a linebacker? And Lee, I'm going to use this opportunity. We had a competition going.
We did.
For who? The 49ers would sign in free agency. Now, I don't know whether you lot out there don't want this wonderful Joe Staley bobblehead, because at dinner time at work today, I was preparing my script for the start, and I thought, I'll just tot up the entries in our free agency competition. And it's safe to say we did not have one correct entry. So mine and Lee's great idea, this competition, has crashed and burned. So stay tuned, everybody.
Has anybody called any of the ones we've signed yet? I mean, that's
so great. I was just about to say that, Gary. So far we've had four external players, external, like not re-signs, signed for the 49ers off. The Gunner signed for the 49ers being confirmed. And I don't think anybody has picked any of those four. And to be honest, I wouldn't have picked any of those four either. So Gary, maybe it wasn't a great idea, that.
I was going to go down a rabbit hole. So, Gary, your entry, talk us through that, because yours was a little bit left field, I'm not going to lie. So do you want to tell everybody watching who your entry was and why you thought we were going to pick?
My entry was the linebacker that just got signed. Things got to the Commanders, to be honest, from the Panthers, Luvu. I thought he was on the free agency market. I thought, obviously, the Dre Greenlaw going down and the potential of coming back, whatever else. And I knew we needed a strong linebacker. And obviously, we've got fun and games after fleecing the Panthers before. So I thought we'd go back. And the Panthers are an apps. At the moment, the Panthers are a firestorm. Just what that, I'm sure you've seen it, Paul, as well. This tweet where they've listed out the recent trades and what they've got in return. You know, Burns going for a second and a fifth. They're just an awful, awful organisation. But I just thought that Luger would fit the mentality of our defence. He would fit that linebacker core. And I just thought he was a cheap win. But I think he obviously, I'm guessing he wasn't as cheap as what we thought or what I initially thought he was going to go for.
Yeah, so normally...
Sorry, Paul. What I was going to ask is, what do you think of the pickup of Eric Kendricks then? Obviously, he's the linebacker that we have brought in. And I've said to the guys earlier on that really excites me. I'm over the moon with that pick myself, personally.
Yeah.
I think he's a great veteran presence to have.
He
had one great season back in 2019, but then he's had steady seasons either side of that. And then he picked up again last season. And I think coming to the 49ers and being coached by the likes of Johnny Holland and playing alongside both Trier and Fred, I think that might bring out the best in them as well. So potentially we're going to have three really good linebackers again.
Yeah, I love the pick from, I love him picking up. And, you know, so he's worked with Staley, obviously, at the Chargers, so just Staley knows him as well. So there's that link of easing him into the organization or having somebody there in charge who he knows and whatever else. And you think that, you wonder if some of the free agency signings have been led by our new DC and with the impact that they've brought in, because certain, you know, the D-line, we're always strong on the D-line, and you know, a lot of those D-line players who are maybe not the big splashy elite names that everyone would be screaming and chatting about at free agency, but you know, every time we've taken up a D-lineman who's been knocking around, Chris Kucherek, I struggle with that name just as much. Yeah, he's just like a wizard with defensive linemen, right? So picking those guys up for what we've picked them up for, and no doubt compensatory picks will abound later on, I think that's a great piece of work. But yeah, the linebacker and the other ones, I think, definitely have got a new defensive coordinator feel to them. So it'll be interesting to see how we integrate, how we move forward with that.
So it's if Lee read my mind, because he shared his thoughts in the group chat, Gary, with Najee and Gareth. And that's what I was going to say. What did you make of Kendricks Lee? I mean, obviously, he's a third linebacker. He's in to replace Greenlaw, isn't he? I've got the stats here. 117 tackles last year. He was a team captain for the Chargers. And he only played 15 games, but I think that was more to do with him probably being benched towards the end of last season. One-year deal. Now, I was going to ask both of you, but I'll go to Lee first. Now, this time last year, we made the splash in free agency and we signed Hargrave, number one free agent. We hit the ground running. And I think all of us were expecting a similar move. We'd freed up some of the cap space. Now, what's your thoughts, Lee, on what we've done so far in free agency? Because there hasn't been that splash signing, for want of a better word. But what's your thoughts on what we've done as a body of work so far?
Right, okay. So how it's going this year is exactly how I thought it was going to go last year. So the big splash in free agency was a shock. And because of what happened last year, normally I would have thought exactly what we do now is what I would expect. But because of that splash in free agency last year, I kind of expected something similar this year. Maybe he's not on the same scale, but a flashy name nonetheless. So we've actually gone back to how I think it should be done. And not making the big splash, bringing in the quality players that steadily bolster up the overall roster quality. So I'm quite happy with the way they're doing things. And some of the pickups that they've made, I mean, I've already mentioned Eric Kendricks. I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays. And I don't necessarily think he's a replacement for Dre. I think he's there to play alongside both Fred and Dre when all of them are fit.
Yeah,
from all accounts, Dre is going to be fit by the start of the season, but who knows whether or not he's going to be up to game speed. I think he'll end up being that third linebacker when we've got three linebackers on the field. And I think he's definitely a step above the likes of Oren Burks, Flanagan Falls, D Winters and Jalen Graham. D Winters and Jalen Graham, obviously, it was their rookie season this season. Hopefully they'll come on and progress a bit. Next season we might see a lot more of them. And hopefully Kendricks comes in with his veteran leadership and actually brings those two players on as well. Because ultimately, you have to build through youth. You have to build through the draft. But we're in such a privileged position because our roster is so strong. We don't need to play our draft picks. We just don't need to play them. We can get them to sit for a year and learn from the vets. And I hope that is what's going to happen. Outside of that, looking at the other pickups, they've been good. I'm happy with them. We kind of had a conversation before we came on air, and I'm just going to mention the first person that we re-signed, player that we re-signed, and that was Brandon Allen. The reason I'm mentioning him is because of the conversation we had. So I've been tidying out my office over the last 2 days, and I came across a draft preview from 2022. So I thought, let's have a read what they said about Brock Purdy in there. And it was quite complimentary. Whoever wrote it, and I still can't find a name who wrote the article, but they turned around and said, he doesn't have any problem with his arm strength in any phase of the field. He's not as strong going long, but short and intermediate, he's got a great arm. It was interesting to find out that whoever wrote the article didn't think he'd have scrambling ability. But the most interesting thing, and why I'm bringing it up, is because they always compare to current NFL players. And they compared Brock Purdy to Brandon Allen. They said he's a Brandon Allen type player, and I just thought that was unbelievable for somebody to do that in the preview 2 years ago, and all of a sudden they're playing on the same team, and they're going to have QB, 2 years yeah. together.
So yeah, exactly. So Gary, I'm gonna. I did want your thoughts, but your good friend Alex Simpson in the house, also Let's Talk Sports. He's asked a question. So straight over to you, Gary. This is what you do on the live. No prep. Do you see a draft day splash from the 49ers? And that's from your good friend, the fact
checker. I know, that's Alex throwing me under the bus there. He's obviously his medication with his knee is kicking in.
He wants bold. He's told me he wants
bold. He likes bold. I mean, we have a raft of draft picks, obviously, you know, all the compensatory picks we've got. Yes, many of them are third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and whatever else. When we are a long way down in that first round, and what is our big need? You know, if you're going for a draft day splash, you're talking first round moving up, right? And I think we all think our big need is offensive line. We don't, you know, after the Super Bowl, after some of the bits and pieces, yes, we signed up McKibbitz, which I think everyone loves. It's a sensible, you know, deal for the organization. He's been around. It takes a while to get in. Yes, he may be not his first elite starter quality, but, you know, he does the job. Is there enough? And there are some good offensive linemen coming out of college, but to make the splash to Alec and for us to make that, we'd have to literally package, I think, first, second, third, and maybe next year's if we wanted to get it, if we wanted to make the jump that we would need to do to get the linemen that I think we need to get. It has to be like a big, big one. And I don't see the organization after the last time they made a draft day trade up splash, give away the next, you know, another first year draft next year. I don't see them. I think their fingers have been burnt with that. So I don't see us doing it. Do I see another organization doing it? Absolutely. I cannot imagine the Vikings are sitting at 11 with their QB room as it is now. They are not staying at 11 for that. They are throwing something in to go and get a decent QB. JJ McCarthy might be there at 11, 12 whenever they draft, but I think that if they're in there, they're going to make a bigger splash than that. They're going to go want to get one of the first three or four. I think the Patriots are primed to clean up on some picks there. If I mean, we know the Bears are going to mess up whatever situation they've got, right? Because it's the Bears. And you know, they might be sitting with the number one and Justin Fields and whatever else, and they really should run the draft board, but they're going to mess it up somehow. But I see the Patriots and, you know, the new regime at New England making hay with that third round, that third pick, and getting something out of that.
Well, we are going to get deeper into the draft talk as the weeks go on. Alec has thrown you under the bus. I'm surprised you haven't thrown him back under the bus with his prediction, but I'll save that for later. Don't go anywhere, Mr. Simpson. So, I mean, what I would say to answer my own question before Lee gives his thoughts, I agree with you, Lee. I didn't expect a big splash. And what I would say is we're upgrading in positions of need and we just need to be patient. Every fan wants day one of the legal tampering to start, and you want to sign. Like last year, we got Hargrave. I think we were live doing the pod when Hargrave news broke, and we were like, oh, wow. You know, Leonard Floyd, for me, is an upgrade over Chase Young. Mateus is an upgrade over Ferrell. Jordan Elliott. Now, I don't know whether you guys saw our good friend Jordan Elliott, who's a content creator. His notifications must have been through the roof last night. And to give him his credit, Lee, he has released an article on his thoughts on Jordan Elliott. So do go and read that, because obviously Jordan had some fun putting that together. But I think he's an upgrade on Kevin Givens from what I've seen. And as you said, Deli, Kendricks is an upgrade over Burks. So when you enter this period, surely that's the aim. You get better at deals that are friendly for the team. Uh-huh. What's not to love?
That's got to be the end. Sorry, man. Sorry, you're wrong. It's got to be the end for any organization.
So going back to Alex's question and following from what you're saying, Paul, you have to assume that a big splash means that we're going to move up. I don't think we're going to move up for two reasons. One, if we move up, it's actually going to cost us more money. It's going to cost us more against the cap, because the higher up the draft you go, the more money you're going to spend on that player. So I think it's prudent to stay at 31. And I don't think we're going to take no linemen either. I think regardless of the fact that we've taken four defensive linemen, we will take a defensive lineman with that pick of 31. Because there's going to be a few, two or three around that area who are going to be first-year starters. And that's why I think we'll do that. And as Neil's mentioned, it is quite a deep draft for all linemen. So if we do make a splash, I think we'll take... We might move back into the second round. So we've got that 31, so we might move up and then again move back into the later part of the second round and potentially take two O linemen in the second round. I think that would make sense, because it wouldn't cost us that much against the cap. But because the draft's so deep, we are getting two players who could potentially contribute day one. And that's outside of the first round pick, because I am still absolutely convinced it's going to be defensive tackle first round. That's what Lynch has done all the way through his tenure. And like I said, we've brought in four players. They're not necessarily starters. So I think he might be bringing in a stud from the first round.
So you may have noticed before you speak, Gary, the breaking news is across the bottom. So Colin has put there that it's come from Matt Miocco that Eric Armstead has been officially released as a post-June designation.
I was just about to ask that question. Yes.
So I do trust Colin. I don't think we've been got there. So I just thought I'd interrupt that chain of thought just to say that I think we all knew it was going to happen, especially once we've traded for the new player from the Texans. But sad to see 91 go, but I think it was kind of inevitable when he wouldn't take the pay cut. Is that not fair to say, chaps?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been around. He's the longest tenured Niner. You know, last year you saw Jimmy Ward leave after being the longest tenured Niner. They it's a business for those guys, right? He wasn't going to get the contract that he thought he deserved, and you know, probably does deserve. And hopefully, he goes out and gets that big bag and gets one more chance to push for some more, you know, challenges. Hopefully, in the AFC. That's all I'm going to say. Hopefully, he moves across the conference. But yeah, no, that's good news. I wish him well. He's been amazing for us. You know, Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee for the last however many years for the Niners. But he wanted money. We couldn't afford him. Hopefully he goes and gets it. And it's good that it's post-June designation. That's big for the team as well, I think.
I think what the team are doing well, chaps, is they're building to stop the run and to rush the passer from the middle. You look at Jordan Elliott, 6'4", 300 pounds. Collins, 6'2", 310 pounds. Hargrave, 6'2", 305 pounds. Kalia Davis, which I've kind of forgotten about. He's on the books, 6'2", 310 pounds. I think you're right, Lee. I think come the first round of that draft, there's no way we're looking at anyone other than the position that you've said. As much as you mentioned McKivitz, Gary, I still think there's needs at right guard. I think the Niners are pretty good at drafting players with one eye on the future. Lee alluded that earlier. And as the notorious GAV has put there, Kyle drafted Banks and Burford. Both of these guys didn't start day one. And he's put that he's not confident we start any all-line guys we may draft. And he's finished off with that Kyle doesn't trust rookies. You think that's fair to say, Lee, what Gav's put there?
Yeah, I think it is probably fair to say. I mean, history tells you it's fair to say. But you have to have a look at the likes of Debo and Ayuk. Both of those started the rookie years. So you trusted those. I think when he can be in control of how... I think when he can be in... Well, he didn't really have a choice but to trust Brooke. we were out of quarterbacks, weren't we? What was I saying?
Do you want me to put the comment back on? Sorry. There. So Gav's put there.
No, I'm trying to think what my train of thought was there. Yeah, I've completely... Oh, yeah. If he can completely control how the rookie plays. And I think he can do that with wide receivers. I think he can do it with the tight end. He can definitely do it with the quarterback because everything comes from the quarterback. The running back, I think running backs, a first-round running back or rookie running back is always safe to play, to be honest. But the O-line, I think it's different. I think the O-line does take that season or two to get up to speed. We've seen the examples all along. I mean, Aaron Banks, as Gav has said, he sat him. We saw him a couple of games towards the end of his rookie season, and he didn't look great. But when Spencer Burford was there, and Spencer Burford played his rookie season was great. This season, he was far from great. So he kind of regressed a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that he doesn't trust rookies. Or linemen, you're probably right. Even though I've just said maybe he's got two starters. It all depends on how they turn up in practice. If they play like Spencer Burford did his rookie season, he'll start them.
Yeah,
I think it's a tricky position, though, isn't it? I mean, O-line, because especially with Shanahan's scheme, there's a lot of pulling, there's a lot of special types of blocks, and special. It's not just your run forward blocks or your pass protection. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that goes in there, and cohesion and working with the team and working an O-line together. It's not five guys; it is a unit of they all have to work together, and I think dropping new guys in is always tough. So yeah, I wouldn't say he doesn't trust rookies, but I think, as you say, he's played his rookie wide receivers, he plays his rookie running backs. But I think O-line is a special case. You can't get guys straight out of college, and they might look fantastic coming out of college, but you put them in the NFL when they're suddenly up against guys who are bigger, stronger, older, they've been around the block a lot more than some of those college guys. Everyone's bigger, everyone's stronger, everyone's faster. It takes them a while. You can't just expect them to walk in and do what they did in college. It just doesn't happen in the O-line. And so, yeah, even if we did draft them, I don't think you're right. They'd be rotational if we were in a good enough position in games. I think that I wouldn't, put past Carl to say, okay, we're 3-4 scores up on some of these teams. Let's put some of the younger guys in and just see. But, yeah, I think we don't put first-year O-line in unless... worst case scenario,
when we're in a... Well, Mr. Graham disagrees. He's put McGlinchey was a day one starter.
Now, was that out of necessity, though?
To be fair, everyone, you would think I'd planned this, but I'm delighted that we've got down the O-line talk. However, you want to jump in at this point, Lee, before I go down the O-line talk?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference with McGlinchey is we took him at, what was it, number 11 overall? When you take number 11 in the first round, he has to be your starter.
He's got to be a starter, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think most Niners fans wanted to see the O-line improved. I'd called on the Monday show, Gary, for Robert Hunt. I thought he might have been a good fit, what we do, coming from Miami. But chaps, the O-line market exploded. I've got the figures here. Dotson went for 16 mil per year. Jackson, 17 mil per year. I can't even pronounce Mike on a Hugh, 19 mil per year. Robert Hunt got 20. And Landon Dickerson got 21 million.
But now, Moses just went to the Jets as well, didn't he?
Broke because I did this at dinner time in between jobs. But what I was going to say
prior.
Would you want to spend that kind of money on your line? Are you quite happy with, like, last year we picked up Feliciano, and Gav will get to your comment in a moment. I think when you're building the roster where we're building it, you can't splash 18, 19, 20 mil on an O-lineman, other than Trent Williams, obviously. But what was your two takes? Would you like to have seen us look at one of those, or are you quite happy the money's gone somewhere else?
I'm quite happy that the money's gone somewhere else. Defenses win championships, and it's been obvious that's how Shanahan and Lynch want to build a team. If they can pick up value in the second and third round with O-linemen, I think that's what they're going to do. I mean, who knows? We might take one at pick 31. But I think when you have a look at the value that's there, defensive tackle compared to O-lineman, I think that outweighs the O-lineman. And that's why I think they'll go for the best player available, the best player of need available.
What do you reckon,
and obviously,
Gary?
The whole strategy around free agency is to go into the draft not needing anybody.
Yeah.
Plug all the holes so you don't have a desperate need where you don't have to oversell yourself or draft too high. Yeah, and money can go, those guys can go get their bag. They deserve it. Those players worked hard on whatever else. We as an organization and as a team have more needs where the money needs to go or should be dispersed. And I think O-line isn't the massive priority. Yes, as you say, a lot of the fans were screaming for it because of some of the missed blocks and some of the bits and pieces that, you know, recent painful history that we're still got scarred by. But deeper down, I think we have some more pressing needs where that money needs to go. You know, the ones we've picked up in free agency are great. They're an upgrade, as we've said, and they're cheaper. So, yeah, I'm happy that we didn't make the big free agency splash there.
So Gav is asking about Feliciano. If I'm honest, chaps, I haven't seen anything. So Brad Grimm is my go-to for offensive linemen and content creators. He tweeted out earlier that outside of bringing Feliciano back or any other bargain basement signings, he doesn't see us doing too much in free agency. He says what you said, Lee, he sees it all about the draft. But I'm sure once any news breaks, I would like to see Feliciano back. I can't remember what jersey number he wears, though, Lee. Can you remember what jersey
number? 50, isn't it?
It's number 50, is it? Was
and he's called Joe.
I had to get that one in. Sorry, buddy. It had to be done.
I don't think Gary was at that watch party. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But I know I heard all about it. Everyone knows about it. Yeah, I mean, there's Feliciano. There was a couple last year, wasn't it? That were knocking around the undrafted free agency sort of practice squads. And if none of those have got picked up, then, yeah, let's bring those back and keep the rotation going. And we might, you know, find a few undrafted free agencies to bring back. So fingers crossed, you know, Feliciano sticks around. I think, you know, he felt at home with the organisation. He obviously was, I think he was, wasn't he the roommate of Brock for most of the last season? So fingers crossed he comes back as that sort of steadying factor, you know, practice squad and is able to kind of be elevated on a need-to-know basis.
I think it was Zakeel who was Brock's roommate, but I know what you mean. I mean, the offensive line, it's a position of need for every football team. I have this conversation with other fans. My friend Mike from the Fantasy Front Office podcast, he always says offensive linemen are a premium. Let's face it, no kid goes into playing football to become an offensive lineman. And the very best, as you've seen yesterday where the market exploded, Chase Senior, his video of walking around, I think it's San Francisco this morning, with his phone in his hand, dropping those figures. That's where I got that information from. And he's just like, there's no way the Niners were even competing
in that market. Talking with those guys. Now,
we are still on free agencies. We're not going to go into draft. So I do have a list that I've got from Niners Nation who they believe are the top free agents that we realistically are in with a shout at. But before I kind of go down that rabbit hole, as we do on the 49 Faithful UK Live, I'm going to go to you first, Gary. So I want you to pick a position of need, and I want you to give us a player that you would like to see us sign out of free agency, not draft, free agent. Now, if you haven't got anything to hand, I'm sure El Presidente was prepared for this question.
That'd be interesting. I don't know who's available. I'm gonna quickly, because I think if we can find a corner to sit opposite, that would be, if we were going to make any splash on any free agency position, that's where I would be looking at who's the best available corner.
I like
defensive back corner, whatever you call it.
I actually completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's available.
Yeah, I'd be looking for an outside corner.
Yeah.
So any particular names, Lee? Because as I said, I have got an article here from Niners Nation. It's where I get most of the stats and stuff from. So I have a name here that they've picked. So I'm just wanting to see whether it's the same as your two.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say we need to give the two guys in who's already on the team a shot. We need to give Daryl Luter Jr. and Sammy Womack a shot at doing that. Because I think he just played Isaiah Oliver last year out of guilt to Steve Wilkes, because he was garbage, he was. But I think Diomedola, no, I think he's better in the slot. I mean, he's a really good outside cornerback, don't get us wrong, but I think he's better in the slot. And I think if we can get that outside cornerback, which both Luter and Sammy Womack are, then we need to give them a chance and see how they can play. I would love to know what Womack's done at the end of last season to fall out of favour. I know Luke
sounds like he's going down the IU group at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, well, potentially, yeah. I did hear a rumour at the start of last season that it's because he wouldn't tackle runners, and that caused the problem. So he wouldn't he wouldn't play them. But yeah, I'd like to see us try them. I'm just looking to see who's still available.
Well,
do you want to give us that name, Paul?
I will, yeah, but I think Womack could be in for a chance. So the one that they've picked, Lee, is cornerback Kendall Fuller. And we won 30, 16 career interceptions. And they believe he's one of those savvy veteran cornerbacks who basically he fits the run, can set the edge. And they believe if we elect to go for a slot corner and cornerback, that's the name that they would go for. He seems like the type of player we would pick up at this stage of free agency. And I just wanted to know whether that was something you would both agree with.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the top corner still available in free agency. He's ranked 13th. Out of the top 101.
So
happy to pick him up if we could get him. Yeah.
Womack's definitely in the doghouse.
Yeah. I don't know what he's done. Because he was, I mean, the thing is, every time he's on the field for special teams, he makes a play, he does something, he stands out. Exactly. But it's something somewhere to make him. Was it Shanahan or was it Wilkes that didn't trust him? I wonder if Sammy will get a bit more of a run now that Wilkes isn't.
Possibly. Easy. I mean, that's a good point. I know Wilkes did come out and say something about Sammy Womack early on in the season. And it was positive, but it also felt like forced positive.
Forced, almost like a kick.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's saying
to build his confidence in the background. No, I don't. It's like covering his own back. Instead of saying, look, I've got no confidence in the kid. He'll basically say, oh, yeah, he's doing really well in camp. He's doing really well in practice. He's bordering on getting there. It could be that. Could be that.
Do you think as well it could be with Womack, it could be to do with he didn't want to be a special teams player. But who if we just re-signed for a decent
whack,
that's a special teams player. And special teams wins football games. And maybe he needs to get back to, because let's face it, Lee, when he was on the special teams in his first year, Womack was lights out on special teams. And like you said, I have seen his name on some of the content creators, hoping that he makes that leap in his third year. But cornerback is an area of need. Over to you, Lee. I want you to give us a position then. Because Gary gave us cornerback. So cornerback's ticked off if we get that name. Who else do you... What other position do you think of free agency we should address?
Well, let's go to tackle then. Because that's where most people think we need to improve. And I've got the guy's name up on here that I think is worth a shot.
I like it.
He's not... He doesn't exactly play to our strengths, but his strength is our weakness. And he's played for us before. It's Trent Brown. Trent Brown is still available. Get him over there at right tackle, and that's going to solve it. Any pressure coming round onto Purdy when he's throwing the ball, because he's a great pass blocker. He's just not very good in the run game. It's because he's so big that the guy's an absolute monster. 6'7", and he's huge. And that's why he's no good in the run game. But I would have Trent Brown back. I thought he was excellent when he played for us. I think he'll do us a job. And like I said, I think he'll stop the pressure. Coming up against some of the teams that we're going to come up against in the West, it'll be interesting to see how they handle them. Aaron Donald's played against them before, and I don't think he had very much success against Trent Brown. So it'll be interesting if we can bring in somebody like Trent Brown, because at the moment he's still on the market. He's 31, so he's not exactly old, but he's no spring chicken either. And I think we can get him for a decent price.
What
it all depends
Gary?
On what Shanahan and Lynch want to do.
Would you agree with Lee? Or have you got another defensive tackle for us?
No, not defensive. No, I mean, if we can pick up a guy who's, you know, as we just talked about, O-line, and you can't just drop a guy in, plug him in, Trent's around. If he's knocking around and he's, you know, willing to come on a deal that's friendly for the team, friendly for him to get him a chance, he knows some of the system, and he'll be an easier, you know, transition for him to come back in. It's a sound move. I don't have any problems with that one whatsoever.
I would agree with both of you. Another name I'm looking out for, Lee, is DJ Reader. I think that could be one, could fit. I know he's coming off, I think he tore his quad tendon at the end of December, but he'll be ready by training camp. And the fact that we've signed Jordan Elliott, I think he could be another one to look out for, because I think we could get him on a decent team-friendly deal coming back off an injury. So he hasn't been picked up by anyone yet.
Deal type thing, yeah.
And another one they mentioned, and I I wasn't aware of this. Houston Texans, 49ers connection seems to grow. Sheldon Rankins. So he's only turned 30 in April. He's been productive as a pass rusher with the Texans last year. He had 33 pressures, which I think we saw towards the end of last season. Getting pressure on the quarterback was something that fitted into our scheme. So there's a couple of names. Now, the next one on their list made me chuckle, and I'm going to steal both your thunder. I don't think we sign this wide receiver, but given that Deebo Samuel has just changed his number to one, imagine if we pick up Curtis Samuel and he decides to wear 19.
That was my next guy.
Everybody was like, save those jerseys, because I must admit, Wayne Humphrey, you are not allowed to buy another jersey, because the jersey you bought recently, he texted me last night, and he was like, it's the Wayne Humphrey curse. Now, I was tempted to get a Deebo jersey, but I'll be honest with the pair of you, I don't like the number one. I just don't like it on an American football jersey. That's my preference. But the reckon Curtis Samuel could be one we could look out for.
We look at our wide receiver core, right? You know, we've got 1, 2, and 3. We know who they are. But, you know, as proven in the Super Bowl, you know, we were looking around and we were, you know, Ray still needs a year or two, I think. But then we had Chris Conley. I think Curtis Samuel is a, if he's available and he's willing to come, I think it would be a great pickup. I mean, he knows also to put the yards in and to put the effort in. He's not just a receiver. You know, he knows he'll have to come and block. He'll have to play the run game. He'll have to be in and put his body around. And he's done that. And, you know, maybe, as you just said there, the Texans, 49ers, D'Amico, Adam Peters over at the Commanders has built already a pretty good squad through free agency. But, you know, the link is there. So why not see if we can just kind of tickle the taste buds a bit and see if Samuel's available and what it would take to pick him up.
What do you reckon, Lee? Do you reckon that would keep the faithful happy, especially if he picks up number 19?
I actually don't think it will.
Right.
I don't. He's not a bad player. I just don't think wide receiver is a position of need at all. I wouldn't be spending any money at all in free agency on wide receiver. And if we go to the draft, I'd probably be looking mid rounds for a wide receiver.
Mid third or something.
Yeah, I mean, if Brandon Rice is still there mid third, then yeah, quite happily take him. And I think that's just a nostalgic thing because I haven't seen him play. But
I'd hate for draft talk.
This is free.
We'll save it then. But you know, the legacy thing that everyone talked about. I would feel bad for any of those guys who did get picked up by a legacy team like that for the pressure. But
yeah, I think the only thing that's going to make 49er fans happy at the moment is sorting out the O line.
Yeah,
and I think everybody's focused on the two positions: right guard and right tackle.
Is there any other positions outside of there? So Gary mentioned corner. We've looked at some defensive tackles. Is there any other positions on the defense that you would possibly look at?
Yeah, safety. I think we need some depth there.
Gibson, yeah, and we could do with some experience. Last season, right?
Yeah. So
who? Gibson.
Is he gone?
So Gav, I think
when Gav's come back for one season only.
Yeah, I think Gibson's going to retire. So yeah. I think what Gav's pointing out there is when he says we need a kick returner. I think Ray is an unrestricted free agent. And that's why I think the Samuel, going back to what we've said, because we always need that gadget player, that kick returner. Danny Gray hasn't done much, but I do agree. I think we've got bigger needs. So I agree with safety. Have you got any names for us, Gary, in the safety position? Or... I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I would like Poyer, but I know he's recently just signed. I think he's gone to the Dolphins from the Bills, I think.
I think I've seen a tweet about that earlier, to be fair, buddy.
But, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Bills let go of pretty much all of their secondary, it felt like. So
yeah, I mean, Micah Hyde's still available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a lot of safeties. When the news started filtering out, I think Najee put that in the group chat, and there was about 20 names on the list. So yeah. I think safety's somewhere we look at. An interesting name I've seen.
Did get picked up from Broncos? I'm not sure.
I'm sure if anyone in the chat. So what was that name again? Because I missed that.
Sorry. Simmons, the corner. The he's still available.
He's still available.
Hmm.
But do you think what's happened with the Niners? What's happened is the legal tampering starts. All the big splashes are announced. and then the league season starts, and then there's this kind of like weird lull where people are waiting for domino effect. They're waiting to see, aren't they? When, if that player goes there, then that player will go there. Like Armstead, we all knew he was leaving, but at dinner time, when I was preparing the show, there was talk that we might still get a trade partner for him, but clearly exhausted those. I thought I'd make you both chuckle. The Kendrick signing was announced at 3 a.m. San Francisco time. John Chapman was not happy with that. So I tweeted John back and said, it makes a change, because that's not
nice change. So it'd be known the day for us, yeah.
It was nice at 10 o'clock this morning to see the notification flash up on my Apple Watch. No, the Niners have signed someone. And I'm not half asleep, but it hasn't broke overnight. But a name I've seen at the safety position is Jordan Whitehead. So, again, he had 6 pass breakups, 4 interceptions, 5 tackles for a loss. And it could be more. The Niners are waiting to see what's happened with Hufanga at safety, Lee, before we commit to some big money in free agent. I don't know. That's just something I'm
thinking. I don't think we need to commit big money in free agency on a safety, because I don't think they're commanding that much money. And I mean, I've got two guys here who are both in the mid-20s, Cameron Curl and Julian Blackmon. I think either one of them could be worth a one-year deal. Both of them have had injuries in the past, but seem to be over those injuries. And I think either one of those... At the moment, what I'm nervous about is Hufanga's, what, it's coming up to his third year. He's coming off quite a major injury. We've got Jair Brown, who showed flashes of being a really good player, but he also showed flashes of
being
consistent.
Yeah.
And just, so I think we need that veteran presence in there. Not so much for Hufanga. I don't think he needs it, but he still needs to learn anyway. And who Gary just mentioned there, Justin Simmons, he would definitely provide that. He would definitely upgrade our safety room straight away. And it's somebody that both of those lads can learn from. And that's what we need. We need leadership. In each different position, we need a leader, because that's how you bring on the younger guys.
Yeah.
So 406 to Rice, keeps hearing a big splash is coming. Before I put Neil Graham's comments up there, I've just seen this. So Najee's favourite team, the Chargers, apparently they've restructured Mac's deal, but they've released Mike Williams to relieve the salary cap. Yeah. Now, the name we're all...
One of those just definitely have to go.
...being released is number 97 for the Chargers, Joey Bosa. So obviously we're a Niners show. I want to get your thoughts. Would you like to see a second Bosa come across if the money's right? Yes, no? Would you tell
me? I mean, who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't? For all, even if it's just for a season, and if, as you say, it's a make right deal, or it's a team friendly deal, or it's a, you know, one and done, 1 year with your brother, who wouldn't? Because, you know, you saw Nick come on when Chase was there. I know Chase Young is not really set the world alight since he's come over, but he did elevate a little bit Nick Bosa from playing, you know, from college together, and finally get a chance to play. So I think Bosa played better when Chase Young was around. It's inevitable that the Bosa brothers would be trying to outdo each other, which could only be good for the team. It would be an amazing thing. And even, you know, even Mama Bosa said, you know, I'm sure you saw the tweet, Paul, that she was like, oh, make it happen. The injuries are the only issue there you'd have to be concerned with. But if he's rotational, we bring him in, you know, second, third down, or just, you know, third down, pin your ears back, Joey, go get him. Team-friendly deal would, you know, of course you would.
So Neil has got a controversial wish. So Neil would like us to look at the wide receiver Hunter Renfrew, slot receiver, which he says we don't have on our roster. 1,000-yard season with the Raiders, and still only 28.
1,000-yard season with the Raiders, with Jimmy and Aiden O'Connell, and a revolving door of shocking QB play. I mean,
see, we just can't get enough of that name on this. Gav has jumped in there, Lee, saying that he doesn't think we make a splash. He thinks we save some money, potential trade mid-season, like we did with CMC, Chase Young. But what's your thoughts on Neil's wish list, Lee? Would you grant him that, or do you think?
Again, I don't think it's a position of need. Yeah. I don't. I think we need to concentrate on where we are obviously weak. I see Kafifi Coffee. He wants Joey Bosa. So do I. I think we all want Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
I think that goes without saying. Having Bosa and Bosa on either edge would be unbelievable. But, I mean, Hunter Renfrew, he is a really good player. Would he be an upgrade over Juwan Jennings? Yeah, he would. But do we need that additional cost over Juwan Jennings? I don't think so. And there's no way we've tendered to put a second-round tender on Jennings to go out and pick up another free agent wide receiver at a cost. So we'd have four receivers where they are getting decent money. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, he would make us better, but at a cost.
Yeah, it's the cost. It's an upgrade, but it's an upgrade that we don't need to spend money on.
Now, dive into more free agency talk, so we do have this bobblehead that we do want to give away. So Gareth came up with a great idea. So we've announced the nominees for the 49er Faithful UK Awards. The voting will be open very soon. And what we're going to do, Gary, everybody who votes, we're going to put their name into a hat and we're going to draw the winner for the Joe Staley bobblehead. And it's going to be quite fitting because there's no competition requirements. You can't get the question wrong because that backfired on us royally. My colleague at work today, he was like, "Oh, who won the competition?" And I was like, "I think it's the first competition in the history of giveaways where we didn't get a right answer." And I was quite stumped at what to do because I thought, we can't.
Yeah, I didn't really think that through. I mean, I thought it would be dead easy, but obviously it's not. There's hundreds of players out there.
So,
I don't think that's the thing. As you said at the beginning, though, Lee, this free agency market just exploded a lot more than I was expecting. You know, free agency kicked off.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Paul, you've been the same. We're on Twitter checking it out. And it just, as soon as it opened, it was just bam, 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 bam. And it's like, whoa. And it just felt like there was so much more going on than it was last year. Maybe, as you say, it's because the cap was increased. Teams felt they had a bit of money to splash around. But it was just a world.
To be fair, What we should have said is, tell us which position rather than which player.
Yeah,
we should. Because everyone would have gone. That would have been the winner. Everyone would have gone offensive line. You'd have still got anybody.
To be honest, we did we did come up with the competition on the fly. We've got two of that giveaway and we've got a cap. But all jokes aside, we are trying to kind of build competition giveaways into what we are doing. But I don't know about your Mrs. Gary, but my Tracy was like, "What are you doing on Monday?" I was like, "Legal tampering season started, Tracy. The new league season starts on Wednesday." And she was like, "Thought there was an off season, Paul." I was like, "No such thing as an off season." And I'm glad to see some people have returned to the group who took some time away after the Super Bowl loss. And it's always good to see people getting excited. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Gary, because the cap has gone up. And let's face it, the only team happy at the moment is the Kansas City Chiefs. All of the 31 teams are trying to get better. The eye on the prize is that trophy at the end of the year. So I think it's been a steady start for the 49ers. What's Gav got to say here? Enough of the talk.
Let's get the meat and potatoes of free agency.
Go on then, Lee. Bring us home with that one.
Yeah. I mean, that broke an hour ago, 2 hours ago.
That's 2 hours.
Max. Yeah, it's great news that they've been able to work it out. Hopefully, Juice will finish his career at the 49ers, and hopefully he'll get a ring before he finishes his career, because he is perfect for Shanahan's system. I never thought for 1 second that we'd get rid of him. I imagine they've worked it out by the 49ers going back and not asking him to take such a pay cut, such a big pay cut, and I think that's probably what's happened.
Yeah.
Either that or Kristen's turned around and said, "You go sign that."
I've got so much riding on you being a Niner. Yeah, maybe. I don't know
the details of the deal. I think
he's still going to be the highest paid fullback in football.
I've seen Adam Schefter, who is a reliable source. He's put the reach an agreement on a restructured contract that will free up 1.75 mil in the salary
cap. Still gets about 5 mil somewhere. Yeah.
I was worried, Gary, what it would do to Gav if Juice wasn't signed. I'm not going to lie. It was great to see the news break. I think he's a valuable player in the locker room. I think he's that kind of one size fits all for Shanahan's offense. But don't worry, Gav. We were saving that for you, buddy. But I know he's been dying for us to go live so he could celebrate that news.
No, I was happy to see that as well. I mean, I know his agency posted, and it's, I mean, it all started to come out, and it was like that was the one, you know, with Aric not accepting the restructure, as it were, and, you know, Juice was also the one who was on quite a high salary for his position. You know, the fact that he was willing to accept the restructure, team friendly, whatever it is, pay cut, said it, you know, it's probably not a pay cut, as you say, but he's probably not getting paid as much as a salary, but he's probably got signing bonus, or they've, you know, mixed it across to game day bonuses or whatever. Yeah, you know, he's not.
I think he will have taken some sort of a pay cut, yeah. But I also think some of it have been converted so they could get the same cap, yeah. The same cap space as what they're originally going to get. It's just that the 49ers have basically back-ended one of it to the next season.
I mean,
same as they did with Fred Warner just before.
I was just about to say, Gavin.
Sorry, Paul.
No. That's what we've got you on for, buddy. As I said at the start, you're a member of the admin team. I was just Googling there to get the details. I mean, I do know Fred Warner's going to be making the vet minimum, and I think they've converted this year's salary into his signing bonus. They haven't added any void years to the contract, which is the big one, but I think he's been given a hefty chunk up front. Obviously, congratulations to Fred and Mrs. Warner, birth of their beautiful boy. It's always great to see those pictures.
Beautiful little baby boy.
Their podcast, I'll give them a cheeky plug, because I know they watch the show, Lee. I know they tune in. Now, what I was going to say before we went for Fred Warner, did you chaps see how John Lynch announced that Juice was staying? Did you see it on Twitter?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
So we know that John and Kyle are big fans of what we do on this side of the pond. And I had to tip the cap because John Lynch tweeted out, "What's up, 49ers fans? I'm feeling thirsty. Who fancies some juice?" And I thought, you know what, Lee? He has stolen that from a game day thread, either on Facebook or Discord, because let's face it.
Discord channel.
So I just thought it was... I always like to see that side of social media. We're always refreshing Twitter. We're always clamming for the latest news. So I'll tweet it out after the show, Lee. I saw it when I was packing up at the office earlier and I thought, got to mention that tonight. But again, before I hand back over to you two, Fred Warner, team player, freeing up the cap space is a big one. I think Nagy called Fred Warner to be restructured, which was a no-brainer. What did you make of it, Gary? I know you were about to say something before I interrupted, buddy.
No, it's just exactly that, you know. After what happened, and it's team friendly, and it just shows that, you know, the character of the locker room and Fred Warner and some of the players who are willing to, you know, they can see the opportunities there. They're hurting from what happened. They know that they need cap space. They know that they need some help in, you know, some serious places. So to take that, and yeah, I mean, yes, he's not doing any worse out of it, as everyone has said. It's not a pay cut. He's just restructured it in such a way. He didn't have to do that. He could have sat, you know, with the same contract, because it's a good contract. But the fact that he was willing to take it and willing to move things around that way to free some cap space up is fantastic for us. And as you say, you know, all credit to the pair of them, and congratulations to the Warner House on the new arrival.
Yeah,
I saw his story, and Fred was already talking about how quick he's going to be over the 40 at the combine. Well, so
to be fair, Gary, the Warner House gave you a bit of a highlight. Remember when they liked my tweet about the 49 Faithful UK, and Gary was straight in the DMs like, I can't believe they've liked that. It's like, that's why I think UK fans, it's part of the reason you love this sport. You see the interaction on social media. You see that side of it. Now, before we finish off, I do want to talk about, I've seen some rumours that some of our players could be traded. So I think we mentioned it at the start of the show. So I've heard rumours the Ravens have reached out about Debo. Now, given he's changed his number, Lee, I can't see anything happening. It would be the ultimate kind of two fingers at the fan base. And I'm to a New Jersey number and then off he goes. But do you think we could see a star traded? You've mentioned it a couple of times on the pod.
Yeah, it's never not impossible. Let's put it that way.
Never rule it out.
If the price is right, yeah, if the price is right, then they'll pull the trigger and they'll do it. Because it's a business. I said that on Monday night with Aric. It's a business. If they get an offer they can't refuse, they will pull the trigger. However, in Debo's case, I don't think it'll happen. I honestly don't think it'll happen.
And I think...
If it was going to happen, it was going to be during or before the draft in 22.
you know, when he was on the cusp and AJ Brown had gone and all the receivers were moving, that was when if Debo was going to go for a big contract or a big payback, he would have gone then.
And to put two and two together and come up with 49 most out, my take is Brandon Ayuk doesn't get done until training camp because of the Armstead post-June designation. I think that's where that money is earmarked for. I don't think it's going to be dragged out behind the scenes. I think us as fans want it done. But I think Ayuk... there you go, Neil.
I'm glad it wasn't just me because I went straight on and looked at John Lynch's tweets and thought, I can't see
I saw someone tweet it, but there you go. I've been fact-checked.
The wonders of social media.
Paul follows some guy called Lon Jinch.
to be fair, there is... There is actually a Dolphins fan on Twitter, John Lynch, and he's great fun because a lot of the Niners fans tag him accidentally and he does have a bit of fun with it. But I did see that earlier, Neil, so thanks for keeping us right. I think the Ayuk deal gets done in training camp. Do you two agree or do you disagree with that take before we finish?
I swear we always do these deals in training camp. They never rush a deal. They always work it out. They've been talking. You know, Lynch has said all the time, we want to keep him. We're starting the conversation. Training camp is where the Niners have inevitably done all these deals and got all the new contracts and extensions done. I've got no qualms or worries about Ayuk not getting paid, and I don't think anybody else has. I mean, you know, the restructures and whatever else. And as you say, that June designation for Armstead just kind of leads into, as soon as they're into training camp, that all get done and dusted and rubber stamped.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it's going to be done earlier than that. I think it'll be announced after June the 1st, but I think it'll be done earlier than that. I think once we get through the draft, they'll work tirelessly on getting this done because they all rate Brandon so much. And he needs to be here. He does. He needs to be here. He is our wide receiver one. Let's put it that way. There's absolutely no discussion about it. Debo's not. Debo's great. Love him. When he's got the ball in his hands, he's always going to run at defenders and get past them, make them miss, get that yards after the catch. But his route running isn't great. And he does have questionable hands as well when he's catching the ball. If he has to catch in traffic, if he has to catch on the run. When you're doing a screen pass out of the flat, he catches it and off he goes. And there's not as much pressure on him. Yeah, he's going to do that 100% of the time. But for me, Brandon Ayuk, he's our wide receiver one. We've got to tie him down.
I'm smirking. But Jimmy's been released by the Raiders. Waited out. So anyway, Gary, I mentioned about Ayuk because I think a few of the fans will panic, but it's not getting done before June. It's not what we do. So I just wanted to put out there. Is there anything else that you two want to touch upon on free agency? I'm conscious we've just hit the hour.
Yeah, so
we can keep going. It's not a problem with that. I just wanted to see if he's had anything to say.
So I think it was our friend Crystal who shared the video of Yeeta Gross Matos and his story.
Wow.
And you need to go and see that story. It is so heartbreaking. Losing his father as a young kid through drowning and then to lose his brother who was struck by lightning. Jesus. And he stood and witnessed it.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Stories like that, it just heartened you, didn't you?
Sorry, Gary, I was going to say, Lee, we are going to do a deep dive into the players that we've signed. I know kind of people might have tuned in tonight, but that is a must-watch video. I must admit, I was heartbroken for him when I seen that. And we've been asked a question. So, Gav, quickly, have we been watching the Welsh rugby player who's declaring? I'll be honest, Gav.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I've been watching some of the IPP stuff because obviously he's going through that. Looks like he's going to be okay. To be honest, most of the UK perspective or the UK and Ireland perspective for that IPP is that a lot of the kickers coming out of the Irish kicking academy, they're going to get picked up. A couple of those from Mike McQuaid and the guys over at Pro Football Ireland done a massive job over there, and they look like they're going to get a couple of those guys, punters, kickers, get signed up. Rhys Sammet, he's got a chance. He definitely has a chance. He's proved himself in terms of wide receiver, kick returner type of thing, because obviously from the rugby in a fullback position, Yeah, he's going through it. He's going through the IPP. He's got a chance. He's definitely got a chance because he's got the physique. He's definitely got the speed. And the speed, you know, we know what it's like in the NFL. You know, we've always seen how what happened with Xavier Worthy at the combine. You know, he ran the fastest combine and his draft stock went through the roof. Rhys Samet quicker has been recorded, and this might freak a few people out, but he has been recorded in game day speed faster than Tyreek Hill. So, you know, he's got the right attributes to make it. It's just, you know, not many have crossed over from rugby to NFL. You know, we remember Jared Hayne, the pain that was Hayne for us. But I think Rhys has got more of a chance.
Right. So interestingly, this tweet might answer a lot of the questions we've had tonight. And apparently David Lombardi has tweeted, the 49ers are nestled right up against the salary cap now. Ooh. And they don't have the exact figures, but it was the Kyle Juszczyk adjustment that allows San Francisco to be cap compliant by today's 1 p.m. deadline. If they hadn't restructured them, they would have had to have cut them. So that's it. At the moment, we're right up against the cap. We've got no more money to spend.
That's why I think the Ayuk deal gets done. To answer you, Gav, my knowledge of rugby is I love the Lions tour. I watch a little bit of Six Nations. However, I don't know outside of that. Now, Gary, before we finish off, I touched upon that you are a host of various shows, which does you a bit of a discredit, because I know you do more than one or two on our sister network, Let's Talk Sports, big part of our journey here at 49er Faithful UK. So why don't you tell everybody who's listening a little bit more about what you've got going on at Let's Talk Sports, buddy?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Paul. Yeah, you know, Let's Talk Sport gave me a leg up when Dan was around to just kind of have a go at podcasting, and I know he did the same to you, and you know, taken it from there. But I happily ran with the Let's Talk Sports side at the moment. As you mentioned, Alec, who was in the comments earlier, myself, Alec and Matty, we run an NFL around the UK show, which is kind of loosely, not really loosely based on around the NFL, because, you know, why would you not copy one of the best podcasts out there, where we just talk about all things NFL in general. We've had a number of guests on from other teams who'd come and talk about their teams and being a fan in the UK, because it's great you guys talk about it as from a Niners perspective, but there are 31 other teams out there who have the same thing, who need a UK voice. So that's what we're there for, to kind of be the UK voice for all of our teams. We've had a number of guests on there, and, you know, the Kilted Texan, Fletch from the Lions, a number of different players, and we'll be looking to kind of keep that going for season two. We've got the F1 show just firing up because the F1 season just started, so me and Matty are doing an F1 show. We'll be reinventing the Premier League show, because that's kind of gone a bit by the wayside. Life gets in the way, as you know it does. But the Premier League show on the Let's Talk Sport network is always looking for football fans, Premier League fans. If you want to come on and, you know, give us a shout and talk about your team, then I'm the person to come and talk to.
So where can we find you, Gary? I mean, obviously, I follow you on social media. So just let people know where they can catch you if they're interested.
Yeah, in jumping on. It's easy to find me. I say it's easy to find me. I'm on the same handle everywhere, but it's an unusual handle. It's Groovy. It's a G, four R's, six O's and three V's with a Y at the end. There's a reason for it. And if you jump on a show, and I know that, I'll tell you what it was, but it's a long-term handle that I've had. So it's on Twitter, it's on YouTube, it'll be on Instagram. Everywhere you look, that'd be the handle to find me. You can actually also find me on the Let's Talk Sport Network, on the NFL UK and the F1 show. So we've got to start to branch a little bit on those ones to make sure that they're all individual.
So I'll tag some of the stuff Gary does after the show. Now, Lee, we had some news of our own today, didn't we, buddy? You shared a lovely graphic that I was dying to share when I finished work. So we have hit a milestone. I just wanted you to break that news live on air.
Yeah, so we've had 50,000 downloads of the podcast, which is an unbelievable achievement.
That is brilliant. Yeah. That's, wow. Just well done, guys, for the, you know, all four of you, the hard work, the effort, the finding time, the editing, and all the work that you put into you know, what I love about listening to you guys is the research shows when you guys have sat there, and it's the knowledge that you have that you impart on everybody else. So to hit 50,000 is absolutely insane. Well bloody done.
So back in 2018, when both Brian Davis and myself restarted the podcast, believe it or not, we were really happy if we got 40 downloads an episode. We were over the moon. We thought, yeah, it's worthwhile doing it. We've got 40 people listening, so why not continue? And to think now we get 400 downloads per episode, and it's just unbelievable. So the podcast has taken off. The YouTube channel has taken off. Obviously, we're over 1,000 subscribers now. I have no idea how many views we've got over the whole entire set of videos we've done. Because obviously those taking the vlogs I did as well back in 2017 and 2019. Mm. And at least one of those vlogs has over 30,000 views alone. So, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I still can't believe people turn up to listen to us, to be honest.
As you say, it's amazing, isn't it? Sorry, it's amazing. Four fans from the UK get that amount of people listening in. Testament and testament to what you do and how much knowledge you have.
And even if it dropped back to 40 downloads an episode, I'd continue to do it because I enjoy doing it.
Well, Gary, we are apparently second in the top 10 best British accent podcasts, according to a very reputable website that Lee found and shared in the group. So I don't know where he found it from, but I was at work one day.
You can find anything on the internet.
And I was like, what that? So apparently that is true, isn't it, Lee? A website has announced that we are second in the 10 best British accent podcasts.
So the managing director of the company who does this this ranking actually emailed us.
Mm.
And I think he wanted some money. I think he wanted us to buy something, to buy a product, a service.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can make your downloads explode.
But I'll
yeah,
they're doing fine, thank you very much.
But all jokes aside, we do appreciate you jumping on with us, Gary. We will get you, Alec and Matty, on at some point. I know Alec is away with work. I know Matty can be a little bit, he's got a lot going on. And like I said to you a few months ago, Gary, when you told me about all these plans for shows, I thought, Christ almighty, Tracy would kill me. I have enough with my hands full with the 49ers stuff. The fact that you do F1, Premier League, but it was nice to get you on. Dan Harris is a part of all of our journeys. He's someone that I think about on a regular basis. It's good to see you guys carry on that work. I know Dan always had a vision of me kind of branching out on the 49er Faithful UK, and he'd be over the moon that we've hit that 1,000 subs. We're close to the watch hours. I don't know fully what that means, but as me and Lee have said, no chance, Neil. That would be a great competition because there's no... Amen. Wow. But... what I was going to say, Lee, is we do appreciate everybody who watches. And if we do hit that magical monetization, whatever it means, we will be reinvesting it back into the group. We will be back next week. I don't think there'll be another pod out this week because we have got the award show out there. So please do go give that a listen. Watch out for the polls on Twitter. Anything else I've missed out, Lee, before we finish off?
I want to hear you say that surname.
Amen. Obonga Bemga. There you go, Neil. Just for you, buddy. I'm sure that was wrong on so many levels. Bemiga?
Bemiga.
I think it's Bemiga at the end, but how that that first G might be silent. Who knows? That's a great one.
There's a YouTube shot for me to try, Gary. I'll do that later because we are going to try and get the shots out there. So,
he goes by Bob, a shot.
Yeah. And Gav, Abel. I look forward to those videos.
Quick one before we go, boys.
Yeah, go on.
Who do you think has won free agency so far?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh.
Fighting Anna.
It's difficult to know because I don't exactly know what every other team's needs are. Because there might be signing players, but there might not be players of needs. And, you know, you look across all the GMs in the league, some of them do a good job, some of them do a pretty poor job. The ones that do pretty poor job, who might at the moment be bringing all these top-tier players. Yeah. If I have a look at a team that I think has significantly upgraded or can be a danger next season, I think it's the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
I think the Texans have done some good business. The far exceeded everybody's expectations last season. I think with the work they're doing now and the players they're bringing in, and to be honest, I expect them to try and make a run at Arik Armstead.
Yeah.
I think they're well placed to actually challenge.
Definitely. I think it's Texans and Commanders for me. Adam Peters has done a bang-up job in his first free agency in Washington. He's definitely improved there. I'm not sure the Packers have improved as much as the Texans. The Texans, what the seed, the Texans picking up Daniel Hunter, picking up Joe Mixon. I mean, yeah, definitely looks like the Texans are building a really good team to really challenge the AFC.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we will be back next week. We're not sure of the topic yet, but do turn on those notifications. Do drop us a like, a subscribe. And if you would like to be a guest on the 49er Faithful UK Live, do reach out to me or Lee. We are interested to get new faces on the channel. But all...
Seriously, they take everybody. Look, they even had me. Well,
honestly, Gary, we do appreciate it. And we will get you and the around the NFL chaps on. It'll be interesting to see you bounce off each other. But Lee, all that is left for me to say, buddy, is stay safe. Go Niners.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Go Niners. We love the San Francisco 49ers deep in our heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, D Clark. Garrison Hurst, stiff farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down the side.